Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Everything is Black and White podcast. Time for the view from the opposition. This week it comes from Crystal Palace podcaster Luke Sechel. You might remember him being on the podcast the last time around these two teams met. The life of me, I can't even remember what the score was. What was the score, Luke? Remind me.
You absolutely battered us 4-0. And I think I came on here a little bit confident because we'd recently beaten Man United away. And yeah, it was horrible.
Now I remember, because I remember leaving that episode thinking, goodness me, what are Newcastle going to end up facing? And I do remember you specifically saying something on the lines of like how confident did you predicted a big score as well, I'm sure, at Crystal Palace. I'm sure you did.
I don't know, I can't remember now, but yeah, I was definitely confident. I think we were like mid-table, just being United recently, and I thought, you know, maybe Hodgson has kept some of his magic, but goodness, lo and behold,
that seems a lifetime ago. Roy Hodgson, you mentioned that, does seem a lifetime ago. It was back in October. Yeah, 4-0, Jacob Murphy opening the scoring, Anthony Gordon, Sean Longstaff. They were 3-0 up in 45 minutes before Callum Wilson got the fourth. Yeah, brilliant day. Don't know why I forgot that. There haven't been too many days like that for Newcastle. The last one at home, thumped Spurs. So that was a memorable one. And you guys, Crystal Palace, come into this game, Luke, in reasonably good form, won the last two, and have won the last one at Selhurst Park, 5-2 against West Ham, which on one side, Newcastle fans will be very grateful for, because West Ham just below them in the table. On the other hand, I'm not sure too many wouldn't have wanted to see Palace getting a thumping coming into this one, so they might not be in such high spirits. But as it is, a fantastic win over West Ham.
Yeah, it was class. The football was really good. That's the thing, the big thing, you know, the football's been really good. Goals we conceded were really sloppy, so like that was the only little negative. But, you know, I don't know if we just switched off, but four goals after half an hour, it was amazing. And just to see Eze and Elise, just, it was just remarkable the way they played. It was just amazing. They were at their best.
So is it fair to say, under Ole Gunnar, it's been coming? The results just haven't been there, but the performances have been all right?
Yeah, I didn't see a 5-2 come in, but I saw wins come in. You know, we've been scoring first in every game under Glasner, apart from one, which was Bournemouth, where we had a really tight offside, actually, to take the lead in that game. We conceded a few late-minute goals, you know, against Luton and stuff, and that a lot of that's been pinned, rightfully so, on just how bad our fitness levels were before he came in. But you can just see there's a whole change in the squad. We've been playing like Klein as a right centre back, and all these players are just exceeding their expectations that you expect from them. So, yeah, something's been coming, like good wins have been coming. Did I expect the Liverpool one? No, definitely not. But maybe I expected some points from West Ham and Newcastle.
Oh, so there, he's laid on the table already. He's expecting points from Newcastle. How big of a win was that game against West Ham? Because there were a few little murmurs from pundits in the media talking about Palace maybe looking over their shoulder at the teams below. I mean, that win takes them up to 36 points with Luton 18th on 25, so 11 points the difference. Does that win secure their Premier League status?
Yeah, I think, to be fair, I've been worried about us being relegated this season. I know the three teams at the bottom aren't great, but, you know, there's always that maybe team that you don't expect to go down that does sometimes. So I was fearful until maybe a couple of weeks, until really Glasner's come in and I've seen how we've played and I've seen the improvement, the performances, And, you know, you may not always get the points that you think you deserve, but if you just see that improvement in performances, you can kind of feel if you're going to go down or not. And, you know, even before Liverpool win, I think we're on 30 points. Luton still had to get 6 points in 8 games and us not get a single point. You know, you just don't see that happening like in 7 games. So, yeah. But obviously now being on 36, we can actually enjoy the end of the season, you know, see how players perform. Lots of players out of contract, you know, they've got to play for their lives, you know, in terms of if they want that new contract. So, yeah, no, it's really exciting. And, yeah, I think you'll see quite an atmosphere lift in this Newcastle game at Selhurst Park now that we've got a couple wins.
Well, I was surprised doing the research here that they've lost 7 league games at Selhurst Park this season, because from the outside, you always think of Selhurst Park as this fortress. You know, they've got a good, really good reputation, the home fans for creating loads of noise. I think one end in particular is, you know, known for it. So, yeah, I was a little bit shocked at those numbers. As a Palace fan, how has the home form been? Are you disappointed that maybe it's not as much as a fortress as people expect it to be?
I think this season and a bit last season, that's kind of felt like a bit of a myth in terms of Selhurst Park being a fortress. Sometimes under Roy, you feel like actually away from home, you're better for sure. And actually this season, Liverpool and West Ham, that's the first time we've won 2 games in a row this season. So like the home form hasn't been great. That's kind of seen the atmosphere drop. Some of them Roy Hodgson performances, you know, the injuries we were having this season. Yeah, our home form hasn't been great at all. But again, under Glasner, I think we're undefeated in 3 of the home games he's had. So, you know, I know they're against teams maybe around us, but, you know, West Ham battling for Europe, it has seen it become a bit more of a fortress again, for sure.
And how important is it for him to start picking up these results? Because I had never heard of him. I don't know if you had. And I suppose when you're changing your manager, you know, these names get thrown around. It's always maybe the same kind of list of maybe, I don't know, 10, 15, you know, big names in one instance or what have you. But to me, he was, I had never heard of him. He was an unknown entity. So for him, is that the same for the majority of Palace fans? He came in and maybe they were a bit like, right, who is this guy? But he is now starting to produce the results.
Yeah, I didn't know much about him. You know, you do your research. He was at that Frankfurt team that won the Europa League a couple of years back. So that just lifts your eyes a little bit. You know, that gets fans a bit excited. But those who may be a bit more looking into German football and that, they were very excited by his style. I've always been someone who hasn't really enjoyed this 3 or 5 at the back, but now I've seen it under him. It's kind of, I can picture it, and it's really nice, and it's not just boring. But yeah, it was a bit, you know, there's that fear, and it seems silly for Palace fans, but that Frank de Boer, 7 games, I think he had 4 games with us, 4 losses, 0 points, you know, got battered by Huddersfield and that. You have that little fear in the back of your head that, oh, there's a progressive manager. Is he actually going to be a progressive manager? Or is it going to be another flop? But, you know, some of the comments Glasner says, some of the way he presents himself, it's looking good. It's looking good. And Palace fans are now really excited for a full preseason.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So what's the secret to that win over West Ham? I mean, were West Ham awful and Palace took advantage, or were Palace that good that West Ham just couldn't handle what was in front of them?
So I think the best thing to say is it's a bit of both. You know, West Ham were dreadful that whole game, but we did play them off the park. And I guess I wouldn't call it a secret because Eze and Elise were so key to that, you know. But what Glasner has done is he's got a goal-scoring striker out of Mateta, something we've never had with him before. I think he's got 9 goals. Last season, he had 2. Season before, he had 5, you know. So we're actually got striker who's scoring. And, you know, that's, I think, in the Premier League, that's just key. If you've got Eze and Elise creating and actually someone finishing, it's ridiculous. And, yeah, even with injuries, you know, Decore, Gaye's out, we've been playing really well. But, yeah, I think the way we play, the mentality shift. You know, we're trying to win now. So these games, we start on the front foot if possible, you know. So it's really nice to see. And yeah, hopefully it continues. And, you know, hopefully it continues against Newcastle. But it's going to be a really tricky game, of course.
Just going a bit more detail about the style of play, because it is vastly different to what you had under Roy Hodgson. Because it's going to be really interesting to see how they set up and try and nullify Newcastle's threat. If you watched the Spurs game, you would have seen how good at pressing Newcastle United were, and they forced Spurs into mistakes. They were very clever at switching the back line when needing to defend, with Elliot Arnesen kind of coming to a left wing back and Jacob Murphy on the right, and then they were coming narrow, then they weren't, and it was a real tactical masterclass. But like I say, with Palace, it's a little bit of an unknown to those who don't follow you guys. Just give us a bit of insight.
Yeah, we actually do like to press a little bit. Not as much as you guys, because that would be ridiculous. I don't think many teams do it like you guys. But we do like to press. We do like to pass it around a bit more now. You know, the one thing I think that you guys really got to do is try and nullify Eze and Elise. And Elise is harder for that to do. But I don't know if you saw us play Man City. Pep Guardiola just had like two players jump on him immediately. And, you know, Glasner snubbed Eze off in the 60th minute. He was really poor in that game. So there are ways your press could definitely hurt us, because I could see a player like Eze find it difficult, you know. But yeah, it is a lot more passing. Mentality's there, as I said. But, you know, players have said, even at Anfield, Glasner and his comments to them in the dressing room will be like, we're here to win, you know. So compared to Roy Hodgson, whose comments would always be, let's respect the opposition, let's sit back, let them take the possession and go from there. That's something I used to hate with Roy Hodgson. I think you probably saw that when it was that Newcastle Palace thrashing, you know, we probably sat back, we're like, let's try and nick it type idea. But Glasner, you know, I think he'll be really, I'm really excited by the game from both sides, because both are scoring, you know. Isaac's best striker form-wise in the league at the moment, up there anyways, it's one of the best strikers. You've got Gordon, who's come on leap and bounds. And yeah, I'm just really excited to see these two teams go head-to-head.
Yeah, it should be an exciting game, because as you mentioned, both teams scoring goals. It's going to be really interesting, because it sounds like Palace will maybe try and take the game to Newcastle, and what Newcastle did against Spurs, clearly Eddie Howe really looked at the way Spurs liked to play, and he just nullified every single threat they had, and he kind of invited them on when needing, and then obviously he pressed when needed to. It was a real kind of tactical masterclass, as I said, and it sounds also with the way that Palace now like to pass the ball out, if Newcastle can make their press work, then maybe they can force them into a few mistakes and capitalise that way.
Yeah, I think so. There's still, as I said, a few injuries, so the players like Hughes, they're not the best passers. They're doing really well, but, you know, they can be caught out. So I can see your press hurting us if it does come to like leading to a mistake. That'll be really interesting to see. But yeah, I think both of us also have really good midfielders. You've got Bruno, of course, but Adam Walton, who we signed in January, he's just come on leaps and bounds, and there's just so many little battles like that on the pitch where, you know, if one player's had his off, is having his off game, then that's where I could see like Palace capitalizing.
Yeah, and definitely. And you mentioned there a few players. I mean, Elise and Eze stand out. First off, a big fan of both. And we've just done a podcast on Monday looking at 19 supposedly realistic targets from each of the other 19 Premier League clubs, and I had Elise and Eze down as my two realistic buys from Crystal Palace, and was swiftly told by my colleague Aaron that they are not realistic. Two brilliant players. How did Newcastle stop them?
As I was saying a bit before, you know, with the Eze, you can't give him space, you can't give him time. Eze's game is a bit like, he needs a bit of time, you know. He looks up, he looks for the ball, or he loves to dribble. Like, for me, when it comes to actually a player who dribbles, he's one of the best in the league. Like, that ball sticks to his feet like glue. So if Newcastle do that press on him, I think that's the big way to nullify him. Elise, mate, I've got no clue how you try and defend against Elise, because he's different gravy. He's the one who I think's destined for the top. Obviously, Wilfried Zaha did so much for us, and he will always be the legend at the club. But in terms of like quality, like Elise, what he's doing at this age is ridiculous. His stats per 90 are ridiculous. 7 goals, 4 assists, and like, I want to say 13 starts he's had because he's had injuries. So, you know, it's going to be hard. I think, as I keep on referring back to, the press will be the way to do it, of course. But yeah, I think you may see a few, I don't want to say dirty tackles, but you know, his football, you'll see a few pulling, a bit late tackling a little bit on Elise, I think. It's how you do it with some of these skillful players, isn't it?
Well, bad news for you, Luke, because Bruno Guimarães had to go, I think it was 10 games. He had to avoid a yellow card to get a too much ban, and that ran out against Spurs. No. So it was a lovely added boost to a fantastic winning performance. So he can kick anyone he wants, at least once on Wednesday. Oh, so it might have to be Elise or Eze that he goes for. And Bruno is the main man in the middle. And I think you've alluded to it. You know, the midfield battle is going to be key here, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, now Eze's kind of like a left-sided player, but his kind of heat maps from these games, you're seeing him drift into that midfield, so he'll be involved. He's, again, one of these players I thought I want him gone in the summer, but he's come to his own. He's definitely a good squad player for us now, but, you know, the quality isn't always there. And Wharton, as I said to you, someone fans should really enjoy watching because he's a proper defensive midfielder and he's only like 20. To get him from Blackburn in January and then see what he's doing at the moment, he's just come into the side ridiculously well. But yeah, it's good midfield battle. I love to see it.
You sound really excited just in general, not just about this game, but the club as a whole. And I guess, you know, I don't know how the majority of Newcastle United fans are feeling. Me as a fan looking at this game, I think it's very hard to call how it's going to go. I did a league predictor the day and I put Newcastle down to win the game, but that was before the West Ham game. And maybe that predictor was a little bit unrealistic because I had Newcastle finishing a good 9 points ahead of anyone else in six. I don't know how to call this one. And I suppose the thumping of West Ham, who only a couple of places below Newcastle, shows that Palace, you know, they're not scared of anyone chasing European football, are they? You know, they're not going to show too much respect to these teams. And Newcastle's another one where they'll go, okay, yeah, talented player there, but let us worry about what we can do and not what they can do.
Yeah, I think obviously favourites-wise, you know, you'd still be giving Newcastle the nod there for sure. Your away form hasn't obviously been as great as your home form. I think that's probably something Glasner will say and something we'll target. That's why I think we will try and go on the front foot. But, you know, it is interesting. We haven't seen Glasner have two games this close together. You know, 4 days. Could Elise be, I know I've been hyping him up, but he's back from injury. He had two hamstring injuries this season. Could you see him rotated for a Jordan Ayew? Because you're quite attacking team to try and maybe nullify a Gordon, and hopefully Elise comes on the last 30, 40 minutes. I'm not sure, but it's like there is a possibility of that happening. But yeah, I think Newcastle will also be looking at this and thinking, you know, they have just played on Sunday. All their players have played. They've had two really tough games, and despite getting wins, you know, it's going to take a lot out of them. So yeah, it'll be one of them ones where you'll still be favourites, Newcastle. But as you said, you know, we'll definitely try and take you on.
I think from a Newcastle point of view, it's just such a shame that Newcastle didn't have a game weekend gone to carry on that momentum from Tottenham. Of course, as you said, that it's given them a bit of a break, but Newcastle and breaks and play haven't really gone very well this season at all. You know, they've gone away and they've looked even more tired if that's possible. So I don't know if the extra couple of days will really have benefited them. I'm hoping the win against Spurs and the performance, which was just absolutely brilliant, is a platform to finish the season strongly. Europa League, you know, as a possibility for Newcastle still. So they'd really do need to win this game to continue on that road to Europe. Is there a Newcastle player, and you've mentioned a few in our conversation already, Luke, but is there one that stands out for you that you're a little bit scared of?
Yeah, I've spoken about a few of your players, but it's got to be Isaac, like, to have someone who scores the way he does. But I think it's actually a lot of what he does on the ball as well. You know, he's not just a scorer. He can actually play football very well. You know, I think you really need that in modern forwards these days. He's obviously not similar in terms of how deep he drops, but, you know, like Kane can do a lot more than just score. He can help create, and Isaac's so good at that. So him is the big fear, him and Gordon for sure. I'm not too sure who's back from your defence, so I wasn't sure how you're going to set up.
This is the thing. The last one against Spurs was a makeshift defence, but it worked really, really well. You would say Dan Byrne will definitely play in some capacity. He played at left back against, yes, he did against Spurs, and then Elliot Anderson moved in beside him when needed to defend. You had Emil Kraft and Fabian Schär at centre back, and then right kind of wing back was Jacob Murphy, if my mind serves us correctly. But I think Dan Burn will play in some capacity. Fabian Schär, I think those two might be the centre backs. Lewis Hall maybe at left back, and then we'll just wait and see whether Kieran Trippier has to fit or not. But have Tino Livramento, Jacob Murphy never lets anyone down, and Emil Kraft, another one who can play, or who is primarily right back anyway. So, yeah, we don't know. I think the big news will be Kieran Trippier. We'll find out, hopefully, some news during Eddie Howe's press conference, which has been recorded, going to take place on Tuesday morning. This has been recorded on Monday night before going out on Wednesday. We're doing it a couple of days in advance. But even then, Eddie Howe could say one thing and something else happens entirely differently. So we don't know. But yeah, I mean, is it in terms of the defence, Luke, is there something you're worried about, you're looking at, or you're looking for weak spots, do you think?
Yeah, I forgot Fabian Schär. He's had a really good season, hasn't he, as well? So for my kind of free play to be Schär, Gordon and Isaac, they're the ones we're going to have to try and hopefully they have an off day, you know? But yeah, it's really good defence. I think Livramento should have been given a few more chances this season. I think there's been the opportunity for him to have more chances, and he's looked quite good. So if he is playing, I will be fearful of him as well. But if Dan Burn is on that left, and I know you're saying Anderson's dropping in to help him, I'm obviously going to think that battle of Elise v Dan Burn, Elise should come out on top if it's a one-on-one.
Yeah, I would like to think that Eddie Howe is well aware of that. We've seen Dan Burn being burned, no pun intended, a lot by pacey wingers. You know, there's a lot to name who've gone at him and got the better of him. He just looks better at centre-back. It sounds strange to say that because he's played so much at left-back. It's where he wants to play, but he's just a better centre-back in my opinion. So I would like to see him back at centre-back. And obviously he'll be up against Mateta, who's just found his form, as you're saying. That'll be a great battle, good physical battle. And out on the left, have a young Lewis Hall, trying to keep the wingers quiet. He's got pace about him. He's good with the ball at his feet as well. That'll be an interesting battle. But I do think if you play a Dan Burn out there, you know, the wingers will get the best of him, unfortunately. So fingers crossed that doesn't happen from a Newcastle point of view. What's the biggest weakness of this Palace side? Because it'll be different to the one, I'm assuming, that we spoke about the last time under Roy Hodgson.
Yeah, well, you've actually caught me a good time for this podcast because I'm actually happy, as you notified earlier. You know, the last few months I would have just said everything's our weakness. It would have been our fitness was our huge weakness, leaking goals, last minute goals. But we haven't maybe shut up shop yet, but you know, we're just fitter and we're defensively better. But I would still say our defense at the moment, we're playing Chris Richards came back against West Ham, so we actually have two centre backs. But we were playing Lerma at centre back, who's a centre mid, and we're playing Klein at right centre back. So, you know, with makeshift defence, I'm still going to say there. I'm still going to say that just ability your attackers have against our defence is going to be the big one. Will Isaac be pinned kind of more on Nathaniel Klein? That's my worry, even though he played well against West Ham. I'd say that's where you might be targeting a bit more. And I don't. Dean Henderson has been good at shortstopping, but his distribution is something that worries me for this game. If you are a pressing team, I'm worried a mistake or two could come out of there.
So some areas that Newcastle can definitely target in this game. I'm expecting goals, though. I am expecting goals. I always love saying this. It's going to be a great game for the neutral, which now means it's a nailed-on 0-0, definitely. Yeah. How is it going to go? What's your score prediction going to be?
It's a really hard one for me because I'm very certain of how strong Newcastle can be, but their away form does get me a little bit more excited for this game. If this was the other way around, I'd be very worried. But the way the form's gone for us, I'm a bit more happier. But I think I'm going to go for a 2-2. I think it'll be good game, both goals from both sides. And yeah, I'm going to say the 2-2 for this one.
Yeah, I would like to think Newcastle can get 3 points, but I would take a point. As a starting point, I don't think Newcastle will get beat, but I do think there'll be goals. I'm just looking now at their away form because, like I said, it hasn't been great. But out of the last 11 games, they've lost two on the road, but won 1-2-3 and then drawn some. So, yes, they've lost three on the road, 1-3, drawn three, I think, is the start there. So, in the last three, they've not done too badly either. So, yeah, I don't know. The way form has been up and down, but I think Newcastle definitely got enough to at least get a point, hopefully all three. I don't think 2-2 is the worst shout in the world, actually. But why not? 3-2 to Newcastle. Let's do it. 3-2 to Newcastle. Definitely going to be goals. Definitely going to be goals. Hopefully it'll be an entertaining one. Luke, thank you as always for popping on the podcast and providing the insight into Crystal Palace. To you guys watching and listening, thank you as always. Head over to chroniclelive.co.uk for all the latest Newcastle United news, including the build-up to this game on Wednesday through our dedicated Matchday Live blog. And we'll see you guys next week.